Right. So most people think AI is going to replace them at work, but Tom Shin has spent 20 plus years proving the real competitive advantage isn't the technology, it's the culture. If your company gets this wrong, you'll lose your best people. If you get it right, AI will make your team unstoppable. So we're here to kind of dig deep into this conversation. Thanks, Tom, for joining. I know, everyone listening to this, it is Christmas. We're recording a couple of days before, and Tom is a unique chap. What can I say? He's enthusiastic, and if you want to work with him, that's what you're going to get is some enthusiasm. So what do you think then, Tom, about this current kind of AI age that we're in? And people are worried. They're really worried about their jobs, laying off a lot of middle management and a lot of companies that I've been speaking to. It's quite worrying, really, for people.
Well, and it should be. I mean, job security is one of the things that people stress over because obviously you need income to pay the mortgage, to buy food, support your family, support your livelihood. Absolutely, it's something to be mindful of and concerned about. If you're super worried about it, there might be some other underlying stressors in your lives. But I think AI has its place, and we've seen it's rapid, beyond rapid. I would say rapid times 100 development over the last couple of years, and it just seems to be going faster and faster and faster. And it's really exciting to see the possibilities of what it can do. It's the AI piece, like we talked about this title that you have in terms of AI will replace weak managers. I think AI, most folks will agree, it's a tool. It can do a lot of things. It can do a lot of things really, really fast. And its adaptability is amazing, and it points to the weakness that humans have, and that we have a fear of change. We have a fear of adapting. And those folks who are resistant to change are the ones who are going to be subject to that mass layoff, that the job loss. They're more exposed to that. If there's less that you can do, I like the tool example. If you can't transfer from using a physical hammer to a pneumatic nailer, who's going to be more useful to me? Somebody who can use two tools or somebody who can use one? Right, if I'm in that construction industry. So, yeah, so that's where I would start.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think the CEO of Microsoft said that if anybody doesn't want to get involved with AI, they need to leave the company. I think he said this like a couple of weeks ago. And that was quite a surprise for me, for someone to turn around and stand up and say that. But I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he's got a technology company, right? But actually, you got some really interesting companies in the States. I mean, I forget which supermarket chain. It'd be Walmart actually turned around and said, well, everyone is going to be using ChatGPT. And they basically turned around and said, okay, we're not going to fire anyone. No one is going to leave the company, but everyone is going to learn how to use these tools. And that I find particularly interesting because then they become innovators within the company, right? And that makes me tick, right? Because the people on the floor know how to run a business, right? The people in the office are managers. A lot of the time, they lose touch with reality, right? In my personal opinion.
I agree. I agree. I think what you find there, name brands aside, you have folks who are used to doing certain things a certain way, and it works for them. And so here you come with that general frame of thought of is if it's not broke, why should I break it? Right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, sort of thing is probably the phrase that I was going after there. But you get used to doing things a certain way, and in a retail environment, it's very people-centric. And so when you run into those folks who are stuck in their old habits and unwilling to shift, they become a risk factor. And so I applaud whether it's Walmart or whoever else that's coming up with the ideas. We're going to adopt this, and we're going to help you adopt this. We're going to think of ways and give you some models. The creativity, not everybody's as creative as the next person. And it's upon the managers to motivate and drive that innovation through their people. And if they need a little help, that's why people like me have jobs.
Right. But I mean, we all need a bit of help because we don't know what we don't know at the end of the day. I mean, that's kind of where we are really with this. It's certainly very worrying. People are kind of losing track of, what their jobs actually are. And that's what interests me is the way that jobs are actually changing dramatically because of these technologies. And look at video production, look at editors of images, look at like everything is really changing. And however, When you compare the quality of a writer, a really good writer, with someone that just uses a language model who can't write, then the writer, I think, in many cases is still ahead, depending upon how much experience they've had, which is an interesting one. But in terms of the culture, right, and leadership and the way that you think businesses should behave with this, how do you think they should really react to this kind of wave of AI? Because maybe they do have some sort of Luddites that don't want to kind of get involved. How do you fix like this poisonous culture? Because 95% of these AI projects are failing. This is what I've heard in the past few years. Or 85, sorry, tell a lie, 85, right? So that is a huge amount of money, right? So it's only the culture that is stopping these projects from succeeding. So what do people do? How do they fix these holes?
Yeah, great question. I think the AI part of that has less to do with the answer than you would think. And let me frame that up. If I have a company value that's adapt to change, that includes AI. That includes other tools. That includes market conditions. If I have a culture of adaptability and innovation, then I'm constantly embracing people coming with new ideas, people pitching good ideas, bad ideas, right ideas, wrong ideas, things that are going to work, things that are going to have a 90% failure rate. It doesn't mean that I'm doing that every single day. It doesn't mean that's going to be every bit of my business. But if I've got a piece of innovation baked into every strategy, every operation, every process, let's figure out a way this quarter to play with this model and see how AI can make it better, or whether that's AI or some other tool. If I've got that innovation and curiosity and adaptability baked into my company values, that's the first step. Then you start integrating tools like AI into that conversation. All right, we're about change. We've illustrated that before. We've tried different production techniques. We've tried different lines. We've tried different call scripts. There's adaptability already baked into how people think, and that it's okay to try something and not be successful with it out of the box. That's why you do pilot groups on different things and you beta test things. You know, software world has figured this out long ago. So I think that's where you start. And then you start to weave in the tool set. Yeah, some people are afraid of it, right? I jokingly say, and I probably shouldn't, like Terminator, Cyberdyne Industries, all that stuff aside, it's really what we're all thinking about in the back of our minds. Like, when are the robots going to take over? But, you know, from a job replacement strategy standpoint, if I'm struggling with technology, then I need to learn to adapt. I need to get rid of that fear and realize, yeah, I'm going to try this. Maybe it takes me 10 tries to get something right versus, you know, the recent college grad who's been using it in their classes. They can do it right out of the box. All right, right. Well, maybe that's so. That's the learning curve.
In Japan, so I'll just give you a bit of what I was reading the other day. In Japan, there was this article, and it was saying how that actually in a lot of the organizations, there are people that are maybe 10, 15 years older than me, right? So maybe 65, 60 years old, and they are literally paid to do practically nothing. So they sit there in the cafe, they drink a cup of coffee, and people come up to them and talk to them, and they eat some lunch, they get paid still whatever salary they were on before, plus inflation, and they can act as mentors, right? So for example, if someone's an engineer and they're in that organization, a junior engineer is going to come up and say, oh, I've got this problem, I don't know what to do. And then they can give them some sort of guidance, right? So I just thought that was really interesting in the difference in the Japanese culture within a lot of the enterprises out there in Japan versus the culture of you're 50, get out, right? Which is where we're actually at with a lot of these corporations.
Yeah, you've seen for decades, you hear about it. I don't have any stats, so I don't want to say 100%, but you've heard the number of stories where somebody reaches a certain point and they become quote unquote unemployable. Right. When you reach your 50s and 60s in that employment sector and you have to find work, you're super stressed. You have a ton of experience. I know this from my talent acquisition days. You'd run into people like, don't want to have to look for a job when I'm 50, 55, because I know it's going to be a different ballgame. They want to hire the young and cheap is kind of the line of the line that they'll give you. You know, I think what you described there with sharing that institutional knowledge, it's extremely valuable. when you have somebody who had to think, I think our trick today is how do we take what you describe with the Japanese industry with the mentoring that exists, because it's super powerful. I'm a huge fan of it. Here in the US, you find those folks who are giving back, they'll do like nonprofit give backs. They'll go into the schools. They'll do what we call SCORE, which is sort of small business enterprise, free consulting, if you will, education through like the US Small Business Administration. So there are some methods of that, but not as focused as what you're describing. I think there's a nice bridge there. If you have sort of the emeritus from an academic world, helping share knowledge and thought processes, helping people learn how to think differently, that's the trick. It's not that I'm showing you that the software can do X and Y and Z more. I just want to adjust how you're thinking, because no one taught you that. You had tools. Like we think about our Gen Alpha now, they're all device.
It's all relevant to success, right? Because we have this container. Our brain is a container, right? And actually what you said there was very profound about changing the way people think. And that is absolutely fundamental to fixing the problems that exist right now. And that could be the entire world. We're only going to work 4 days, right? 3 days, because we need to consider these solutions, right? Because actually we might have to even do job shares. AI is rewriting the rules of business. For non-technical leaders, the risk of becoming obsolete is real. You don't need to panic, and you don't need to learn how to code. Influential Visions shows you exactly how to stay irreplaceable when AI can replace pretty much anyone else. No complex theory, just proven strategies. Start your $1 trial to Monday Influencer at the link below. Your competitive advantage starts now.
Right, we might be even forced to do job shares because actually there are no jobs, right? The basic income piece, right? But you've also got people that actually are not needed, okay? And I hate to say that, but it's the same as in all industries. The more streamlined we get, the less jobs are needed. So what's your view on that then? And the human resources professionals kind of losing their jobs and stuff like that?
I think it's a complicated answer. It's a complicated question.
Sorry.
No one wants to see anybody lose jobs. Are there elements that technology, AI included, will replace? Sure. If I know that every day I'm going to have 100 questions about where do I go find my benefit information, I can create a tool, right? It's sort of if you think about, I'm going to put a poster up. Anybody that has a question about this can go here. There's lots of pieces like that that don't take a lot of high thought process to answer if I'm just steering people in the right direction. And so there you have sort of hierarchy that'll come out of that. Originally, maybe it was a coordinator that helped answer some basic questions. Here's where you go. You help navigate them that direction. All right, well, now with technology, you have your company benefit app on your device. Everybody has a device. All right, well, now I know I can go there. I need to find a way to upskill that coordinator to be able to do more advanced things. If they're not capable of that, sadly, that person will probably be phased out or moved into another area where their skills can apply. And maybe that's with another organization. Hard to say. But I need to be, and this is part of the people strategy thing, element that many HR leaders are facing right now is, all right, not just this next year. Next year, I'm pretty safe. 3 years from now, what does it look like? I don't know. I've got to think about that plan. As technology continues to evolve and we are of the mindset of we want to adapt and be ahead of the market, well, now I got to think, how am I going to upskill my people if they stay? That's the other part of the equation you can't control. If somebody decides to leave, all right, now I've got to replace skills and so on and so forth. But if they stay, how am I going to continue to train them and upskill them and make them more productive, both from a professional development role, but also functionally? And so there's some challenges there where, no, you don't want anybody to lose their job because you've got a tech tool. But if you're communicating the right way, and this goes back to the culture conversation, being clear and transparent, it doesn't mean I need to show you my P&L statement. I might show you pieces of it, but it's me being clear that, look, I can see in a couple of years, your role is going to need to evolve. I want to prepare you for that because I don't want you out a job. You're valuable. I like you. People like you. You do good work. You show up every day, right? Team player sort of thing.
Thanks, Tom. I'm trying my best, you know.
That's kind of the long-winded response to that is that, yeah, HR is no different than any other, whether you're in manufacturing, consumer service, engineering, legal services. Right. None of us are immune to technology impacting our workload and what's easy and assignable to technology, and that's going to continue to evolve.
Right.
Versus any other. It just happens to be we're the ones, it's always ironic to me when you have an HR person that has to lay themselves off. Well, that's a sock in the job.
It is really interesting because I was speaking to Donna about this yeah. the other day, Donna M. Brown. I think you know her, don't you, right?
We've met online. We have yet to chat, but yeah, right. I was watching that episode. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, she's good, right? She's good. And what I liked about what she said was, is that it's going to free up time to do the more human elements of the job, right? Mm-hmm. Which could be developing a whole new learning and development strategy. For me, I'm in a positive half glass full kind of position, you know.
Yeah, I think for me, I also lifelong learner, want to continue to learn. There are days where you look at all the stuff that's in front of you and you're like, how am I going to absorb all this? But that's not a technology issue. That's a time management issue, right? And that's an adaptable piece that leaders have to own as part of your culture. If you're not really good with your time, get better at it. Find out who can help you with it. And then teach that skill to your people because they probably struggle with it too.
Yeah, well, that's a big one. I know you'd love to talk about this.
We say it, every generation says this, to be young again, right? If I had your body, or you know, not from a physical specimen standpoint, but just youth in general. Yeah.
But also it opens up the sort of conversation of, you know, mentor versus coach, right? And, you know, what has the mentor done? What has the coach done in the past? Are they able to guide you to where you want to go? Because actually, if they're not, maybe you need to find a different one, right? And that's mm-hmm. and that's a really difficult thing to navigate. And it's all about asking questions. You've got to ask the right questions. And this is something I'm just getting, I'm improving as I get older, right? But I wish I'd been better at it. When I was 25, if I'd have found a mentor like my mentor now when I was 25, like it would be insane. But they say that the teacher shows up when the student is ready, right? And this, I totally believe in that. I literally, it's like serendipity, right? To be honest, it's yeah. interesting.
Well, and the outside conversation that needs to be had there, like we talked a little bit about how the youth are growing up with technology in their hand. Eventually, you see the Meta glasses that are out and so on and so forth. They are so much more adept to adopt this AI and other tech that's coming. They're running circles around us. These 60-year-olds, can they do other things that we did as well? No, but they're doing other things that are way better, way faster, way more efficient. So their brains are more pliable to do different things. And, you know, we talk, you know, if you want to think about it, and how children learn how to pronounce things at young ages, when they're in that 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old stage, they learn to pronounce, they hear phonetic differences.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Learning and motivation.
So much of a garbage in, garbage out conundrum. Because you have folks who are like, well, I used AI and it didn't tell me what to do. Well, you probably didn't ask it the right questions. Prompting is a very specific skill. And if you're not good at prompting, all right, there's your study point that you're referencing that. Learn how to build better prompts. AI is not going to solve the world for you. But to your point of like, if you're in a business where maybe it's a small business, you know how to do everybody's job, right? You've sat in every desk. All right, great. You know everything. Do you? Are you perfect at every single one of those? No. Okay, well, there's your goal. Get better at each one of those functions. Get better at teaching people those functions. Be the mentor. Be that Japanese model that you were talking about, right? Be the emeritus to share, because by doing that, you're elevating everybody. And maybe you become the best mentor in the organization to share and give people this learning mindset so that they can adapt to technology and other things that are going to come down the road.
That's very profound. We've kind of extracted that from the ether there. You know, it's a whole new job title, isn't it? It's yeah. like, it's basically like, what do you do? Well, I'm a mentor, right? Like it's an entire new job that should be within businesses, right? It really should. But people do mentor other people. They just don't do it formally in a lot of places.
And that's right. And that's okay. I think, there's a friend of mine, Steve Brown. He has a book called HR on Purpose, back into the HR sphere. But one of the things that he talks about there is mentor down, meaning mentor somebody, but also have a mentor for yourself, because you don't know everything. Even that emeritus has things to learn. Maybe the The young buck, the young upstart can teach them some technology, right? Look at what this can do. Find something. Maybe they want to learn how to play chess better. We'll just use an arbitrary example. Great. Well, let AI teach you some better moves about starting with your pawns and this move and that move, or you can watch the Queen's Gambit and learn from her and all that jazz. But there's two-way learning, and you either are open to absorbing new knowledge or you're not. And then it falls upon you. It's your own personal accountability.
Wow. This has been a really enlightening conversation. I've literally shaking my head there because I've just got so much to think about now. And when I edit this, I will be thinking some more about what you fill my brain with. And it's all very positive stuff. Yeah, I can't thank you enough. So yeah, if people want to get hold of you, I'm going to drop a link somewhere so they can get hold of you. And they may want to work with you, right? I mean, you basically help people with leadership challenges within businesses, right? And is yeah. that sort of any size business that we're sort of talking about there then, Tom?
Leadership is not defined by the size of the organization. It's not defined by a job title. It's, do you think you could be a better leader? Do you want to become a leader and don't know how? Right. So I conduct group or organizational leadership and development programming. I also do one-on-one coaching. And so similar topics, it's just, what do you need and how do you want to grow? Some of that relies upon you to knowing some things. And I have some tools that I can help fetter some of that information out if you're not clear, but that's a conversation. And so that's always the greatest places to start is, where are you and where do you want to be in a year or two beyond more AI capable? And sometimes people just need somebody. It's kind of like going to the gym. You need that really effective trainer who has just enough in them to push you to the next level versus mm-hmm. me. When I train people, I'm like, come on, lift more. I'm not their favorite. My pal Tom Horn and I started this meeting, should have been a podcast. It was a little tongue in cheek, but we've had some great conversations to date, and we've talked about AI and recruiting. We've talked about organizational change management. We've talked about environments. We've talked about tech as well, cool. as far as it relates to the workplace and HR. And we want to take those dull, boring meetings, put them to bed and have a little fun with them in our show. But also talk about, here's some things that we can do. Here are some things that people aren't paying attention to in the workplace. Get rid of the dull and boring. If it doesn't need to be a meeting, don't let it be a meeting. Send an email, jump on our show, have a podcast. Not every 17 people don't need to come to the strategy meeting, people. They don't, right? You're making
Well, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one. It just depends, right? It just depends on the business, the approach. That is so... I've been talking a lot about that recently. It's interesting, it's all dependent, isn't it, on the company, yeah. the strategy, what's working, what departments they have. It's a big one. That is a biggie. Yeah. Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it, and thanks to everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.